This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the difficulties that third-party politicians face in the state of Illinois. First of all, look at today's news. Democratic Governor Rob Blagojevich and his Republican challenger Judy Bartopinka will square off tonight in Decatur during their first debate of the fall campaign season. We have a preview from Sean Crawford.
The two sat down for a Chicago TV discussion back in the spring, but since then there's been more talk about debates than actual events held. Blagojevich backed out of a Southern Illinois debate when the Green Party's candidate for governor, Rich Whitney, was invited. Whitney has been excluded from tonight's debate. The governor will likely remind voters of his programs that expanded health care coverage and preschool opportunities, but he might have the most to lose as he'll surely face scrutiny about questionable hiring practices in his administration. Federal prosecutors are investigating that activity. Topinka trails in most polls and also in fundraising, so she's expected to take the opportunity to go on the attack. But she also has to explain her platform to voters, as she's been unable to do that in TV ads. It's unclear if another debate will be held before Election Day. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Republican leader in the Illinois House says lawmakers will have few options for revenue sources this fall as the veto session begins. But Tom Cross says one of those could eventually be gubernatorial nominee Judy Bartopinka's proposal to place a casino in Chicago. He says Democrats have dug a $2 to $3 billion hole by using Illinois' pension system, and he says the state is about $2 billion behind on Medicaid bills. The Republican from Oswego says he thinks it's nice just to have a candidate with a plan.
There are not a lot of choices that are going to be pleasant to get out of this hole. I didn't create the hole. No one behind me created that $3 billion hole. And so then for the Democrats to come to us and say, you help us, we dug it, and so now you help fill it up. It's, as I said, there are going to be some pretty tough decisions. It's going to be cuts. It's going to be less spending. And then we have to maybe look at some revenue alternatives. Maybe, you know, people are going to look at income tax, sales tax, service tax, and this. And I'm not advocating any of them.
Those behind Cross included several candidates and representatives from the Republican Party. Cross adds that there are logistical problems as well that could keep House lawmakers from accomplishing what he calls anything of substance this fall. Air conditioning problems at the state capitol have forced lawmakers to conduct business elsewhere during the summer while repairs are being done. He says he's not sure that work will be done by November when the fall veto session starts. Top-ranking U.S. Senate Democrat Dick Durbin called inappropriate emails a Republican lawmaker sent to a 16-year-old page as disgusting and unforgivable. House Representative Mark Foley resigned Friday after the sexually suggestive emails were discovered. On Sunday, Durbin said Republicans who knew about the emails and kept quiet about them need to be investigated. The Illinois Democrat also criticized lawmakers and Republicans, calling them the biggest do-nothing Congress in history. He says Congress failed to put together an energy bill and neglected to do anything about college costs, minimum wage, and health care coverage. Illinois advocates for the treatment of HIV and AIDS say the state will lose federal funding for patients starting next year, but they say a new proposal in Congress could make those cuts less severe. Jim Pickett is with the AIDS Foundation in Chicago. He says there are two ways the state keeps track of HIV patients: anonymous codes and actual names. Pickett says if the new law isn't passed, only patients registered by name would be counted for funding.
So at this point in this year, if we were to only use HIV name reports, we would be grossly undercounting what the real need is in terms of HIV.
The U.S. House passed the bill last week. It goes to the Senate, where opposition may delay consideration until after the November election. An Associated Press analysis of nearly 2.5 million traffic stops in Illinois last year reveals racial disparities that suggest minority drivers could have legitimate reasons to worry about being pulled over. An analysis found minorities were more likely than whites to be ticketed, to have themselves or their vehicles searched, and to be stopped for non-moving violations, such as equipment problems. Minorities were also more frequently stopped at night and searched based on their consent than whites. A breakdown of individual police departments in the state cited the departments in Piatt County and Monticello as having particularly high ratios of minorities stopped to the local minority population in general. Abraham Lincoln's profile is already featured prominently on the penny, and in a few years he'll also appear on another coin. Last week, President Bush signed a law mandating it. Amanda Vinicky has the details.
As part of a tribute to the 16th president on the 200th anniversary of his birth, the U.S. Treasury will mint an Abraham Lincoln silver dollar in 2009. A spokesman from the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission says only 500,000 of the collectible coins will be issued. He says it's a big deal, as Congress can only issue two commemorative coins a year. They'll cost $11 each, the proceeds of which will pay for production costs, as well as for education programs the commission's putting on for the bicentennial. Also in 2009, four new versions of the penny will be minted to commemorate Lincoln's life. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. When the Republican and the Democrat running for governor debate tonight in Decatur, one officially recognized candidate won't be on stage. The Green Party's nominee was never invited to take part, in fact. As Sean Crawford reports, that lack of respect is one of the obstacles that third parties face in Illinois politics.
Rich Whitney is far from being a household name, yet he'll be on the ballot for governor this fall. He and an entire slate of statewide candidates got enough signatures to have the Green Party included with both Democrats and Republicans. But third parties are often treated in a second-class fashion in Illinois, and this year is no different. Whitney can't get into debates, gets little media coverage, and has had difficulty raising money, all of what's necessary to be successful in politics. That would be enough to discourage many from trying, but Whitney says while it's a challenge, it's worthwhile.
It's not impossible, it's tough. And for us, it's worth doing. It's something that has to be done.
Others agree every election there are people who choose to run, but outside of the two-party realm. Most fail to meet ballot requirements. Randy Stuffelbeam is one of those, and he's now a write-in candidate for governor. The former Republican from the St. Louis Metro East area says he's guided by his beliefs.
Principles and values, and the belief that there's something better and there's something different. Otherwise, if I felt that the Republicans were still doing what Republicans used to be doing, I'd still be running as a Republican. But I feel like they've given up the ship for whatever reasons and felt that this was the right thing to do.
That's how many wind up becoming third-party candidates or independents, dissatisfaction with being a Democrat or Republican. John Anderson says that's what led him to seek the presidency as an independent in 1980. As a moderate Illinois Republican congressman for nearly 20 years, Anderson was uneasy about where the party was headed with the conservative Ronald Reagan as its nominee. Anderson wound up with about 7% of the national vote that year, but he lost his ties to the GOP.
Let's put it this way, there were no more invitations to Lincoln Day dinners.
Anderson was far from being the first to take on the two major parties, but he says he believes his effort showed the public there are other choices available, and he says fewer people across the nation want to be considered strictly Democrat or Republican.
The grip of the two parties is pretty firm, but so, I think, is the growing disaffection. After all, you look at the registrations today, where they keep records, and more people register independent than register in either major party. I think there's a growing feeling on the part of a great many people that the two parties are falling down on the job.
But in Illinois, where laws heavily favor the two major parties, third parties trying to make waves have barely caused a ripple. Ron Michelson is the former director of the state's Board of Elections.
The way we do politics here is strongly biased in favor of the two-party system. And because politics is a serious business here, and neither the Republicans nor Democrats are very prone to make life easy for new parties. And so that's reflected in a number of provisions in Illinois state law.
Those include requiring five times as many signatures for a third party to get on the ballot. If they make it, the more established parties are still listed first on the ballot, and election judges only represent Republicans and Democrats. The deck is stacked against third parties and independents, although that could be changing. Courts have ruled recently in some lawsuits that ballot rules in Illinois and elsewhere are too strict. But that legal fight is far from over and could go on for years. For Rich Whitney, the Green Party's gubernatorial candidate, his most pressing concern is getting heard by voters. He has little money, but says that's not a total negative.
It's harder to get our message out when we don't have as much access to the electronic media. But look at how the other two candidates are spending their millions of dollars. They're spending and attacking each other. I'd say, hey, let them destroy each other on television. That's fine with me. It's only making the voters sick of both of them. It's only, I think, more voters are thinking, yeah, maybe they're both right. You know, what was Judy Bartapinka thinking? And, you know, we have had enough of Rod Blagojevich.
Most voters on Election Day next month will cast their ballots for one of the two major parties. Some will view any other option as throwing away their vote, and for good reason. Previous third-party attempts have been left in the rubble of Illinois' political landscape. As long as the rules favor Democrats and Republicans, that's likely to continue. I'm Sean Crawford.
We have some summer-like heat to begin our week this week in Illinois and Indiana. Our forecast for today from meteorologist Scott Oltoff calls for a chance of showers and thunderstorms in northern sections of the two states, but still mostly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly sunny and very warm, and highs ranging from 80 in the north to 90 in the south and west. For tonight in northern sections, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy. Elsewhere, just partly cloudy, no rain. And lows from 58 in northeast Indiana to 68 in the far south and west. For tomorrow, in northern sections, again, mostly sunny, warm, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, just mostly sunny and very warm again. And highs ranging from 81 in northeast Indiana to 92 in the far south and west. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.